put this on. All right. Good morning, everyone. And Timothy, of course, is in Reading today. So he's chosen a few of us. A few usually means three. Two is two. A few is three. Maybe four. Five is definitely five. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, good morning. My subject this morning is agape. And, you know, some time back we had the teaching on the different kinds of love that there are. And does anybody remember them? There's agape, phileo, what's that? Storge, and eros. Right. Okay. So we're starting with agape, and that's the one we're going to stay on today. Agape is a deliberate, purposeful love rather than emotional or impulsive. It is decided devotion toward something or someone. Agape is a type of love. It's the type of love that God shows toward and for us. It's also the type of love that He wants to see us having for Him. As He said in the Word, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." He also said, "There is no other commandment greater than these." This is the impact. This is the reason. This is the purpose. This is the ultimate reality of what God is here for and what He's doing. So we can say love, or we can put the word agape in there, because that's the type of love that we're talking about. Agape the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Agape thy neighbor. And it goes on to say, as thyself. So then that would mean that we're also to agape ourselves. We're called to sustain or to be sustaining this type of love toward God, toward our neighbor, toward ourselves, and one you probably don't think about very much, toward our enemies. Sort of comes to that point at which we love the sinner, but we hate the sin. It's not about a liking kind of thing here. Obviously, you're not going to like your enemies. But there's a certain function in the operation of what we do when we act out of agape, or as I like to make up words, agapic love. Some of the verses that support the enemies aspect of this, Matthew 5:44, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Again, without agape, not a likely thing for most of us. Pretty difficult. Absolutely no desire to do that. Matthew 5, let's see, the first one was, we'll go to Luke 6:27 here. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Luke 6:35, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return," which is a good idea because you're probably not going to get anything in return. "And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He," that references to Christ, "is kind to the unthankful and the evil." Remember, Christ is our example. This type of love, this agapic love, is to be our operating system. As such, the way in which we manage and run our existence. In God, through Christ, by the Holy Spirit. We might say God is the reason or the basis, answering why we ought to do this thing, agape. Christ is the process, the way, answering the way we do and be agape. And the Holy Spirit is the power, answering how we be this thing, agape. As it is, doing and being agape is to be devoted to something or someone. In this case, God, neighbors, ourselves, and our enemies. While we're called in these ways to show agape, we are not to show it toward other things. I ask you the question, is it possible for you or me to have a deliberate, purposeful, devoted love for someone or toward something else? Have you ever thought about this? That this type of love can be used toward other things? I'm betting you haven't. Because I hadn't either. Until I started to think about specifically teaching on this subject. You see that almost every time you've ever heard the word agape, you think it to mean God's love, because that's what you've been taught. Me too. As it is, the type of love that God has expressed and does express toward us, it's correct. That is the way it is. Because you've been taught, as it is, the type of love that God has expressed and does express toward us is agape. So it is correct to think of agape as God's love in type. However, as it is a type of love, it's possible to be devoted to things other than God. Typically, we would understand agape, devoted love, to manifest itself as affection, benevolence, goodwill, high esteem, and concern for the welfare of the one loved. However, we can see that agape can be used towards other things. Now, again, we're making a distinction here that agape, like phileo, like storge, like eros, is a type of love. And this type of love is the kind of devoted love that God has toward us. But remembering that it is a type, we can, as I said, see that agape or devotional type love can be used for other things. In Luke 16:14, the law, the prophets, and the kingdom. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. We can read this as, now the Pharisees, who were agape or devoted to money. In 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. Well, what would cause someone to stray from their faith? Do you think affection for money would do that? Like a phileo kind of love? Or would it be more accurate to say that these were devoted to money in this particular verse? In 2 Timothy 3:2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and the list goes on. But this lovers of themselves and this lovers of money again, they became devoted to themselves, for themselves. They became devoted to money as the most important thing. Luke 16:13 is probably one of the most profound verses to example this. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't do it. The Bible says so, that's why. And in fact, you can see the struggle and the stress that occurs in many of us for all the things that we devote our lives to. Don't you notice the conflict? In 2 Peter 2:15, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Not like them, not was affectionate toward them, but was devoted to them. Again, we've been taught that agape is a devotion, a devotive type, a committed type of love, which it is, which is the kind of love that God exists in. But in that it's a type, it can be used for other things. You can be devoted to other things. Maybe I said that Luke 16:13 was the most profound verse. I don't know. Here comes a contender. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now we have a contest. What is the love of the Father? That's agape, right? A devoted love towards us, right? And in contrast or contra distinction here, if anyone loves the world, if anyone is devoted to the world, this verse says the love of the Father is not in him. So we're back to one or the other again. In 1 John 5:3, we find, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Correct. If we live in Him. A pain in the rear if you're not. Maybe pain's another part of your body as well. This agape, this way, this love, this source of God, who is our provision, is supposed to be, but most of us have been raised in the westernized, modernized, I want to say kind of far from God world, but I might say most far. It's pretty difficult when you're raised on sugar and then somebody says that's not good for you. I'm like, "But I like sugar a lot." I know you do. But if the Word says this isn't good for you, or this is the way things are, it might be a good time for us to start to pay attention. So this is love, that we walk according to His commandments, 2 John 1:6. Merriam-Webster says agape is unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another, the fatherly concern of God for humankind, a brotherly concern for others, a person's adoration for God. I agree. That's correct. Don't always agree with what I find, but this case is good. And it also says to be the personification of love. So, this is the attribution, what personification means is the attribution of personal qualities, especially representation of a thing or abstraction as a person by the human form. Now, some synonyms of personification. This is the acting out of, or the being of, agape. I'll pick out a few. Embodier, epitome, image, incarnation, manifestation, personifier. So when you're operating in agape, you are being this thing. This way, this devotion. What we need to know about this type of love is summed up in Psalm 23. As far as God's agape toward us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Anybody feeling like that? Or are you feeling like it's kind of brown grass and mud? So he does. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, couldn't be a worse place than that, I will fear no evil. Now I'm going to interject agape again from 1 John 4:18 in the middle of this verse. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in agape. But perfect agape casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That's our difficulty. For, we continue, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know there's enemies all around us, right? You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, who rose again, who became the Messiah. Well, actually, was born, then he was the Messiah, then he died, then he was raised again. Came back in bodily form, seen by over 500 witnesses. This is the gospel. Again, 1 Corinthians 13, primarily read at weddings and things like that. I don't know why, because it has love in it more than any other time.
And this is supposed to be a love thing, this marriage.
Although the marriage is used for an example, quite poignantly in the Word of God. Most of you are familiar with it. I'm just going to go to the point of love. Agape suffers long and is kind. Love, agape, does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Same kind of love, agape. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. I might like to go back and say, which I'll tell you in a moment, but I'm going to use it now. 1 John 4:8, second part of the verse. God is love, right? I think this is one of those places you can't always stick something else in there or substitute it. But we might say God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God does not parade himself. God is not puffed up. God does not behave rudely. God does not seek his own. Except for us. He's not provoked and he thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Agape, then. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If we're going to endure to the end, we're going to need this. And then the next verse is love. Agape never fails. It's quite a promise. And now, at the end of the chapter, and now abide faith, hope, love, agape, these three, but the greatest of these is agape. Well, of course it is. Knowing God through love, 1 John 4:7 through 9. Beloved, let us love, operate in agape toward one another. For love, agape, is of God. And everyone who loves, my word again, agapes, is born of God and knows. Knows in the sense of is intimate with. Like knows so well that God knows you so well, which he does, but there's this side of us that needs to be intimate with God. He who does not love agape does not, no, not love agape, you see I'm putting a slash in there, does not love. Does not agape. Does not know. Again, is not intimate with God. For God is agape. In this, the love, the agape of God, was manifested, made known toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live, which means to live, to move, and to have our being through Him, who is the Christ. This is a love based on our mind. It's an act of choice. We can choose to show agape love by actively thinking about it and deciding how we will act towards other people. However, our ability to sustain it is predicated on our being dead to ourselves and truly alive in Christ. I have a term, I call it high order flesh nature. Looks a lot like a Christian. But you won't be able to sustain it. Because it's not of God. So it might work for a little while and you might be able to do it in spurts. So this next part is very important. Being dead to ourselves and truly alive in Christ, albeit then to have a desire at all to be devoted to God. You know, we don't care about Him. We don't know Him. Well, it's not like you're going to go out there and be devoted to Him. It's not likely. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, the Apostle Paul said, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Which means he then is able to live daily through Christ. If he doesn't die, he's not going to live. Seed falls into the ground, unless it dies, it doesn't live. Okay. So, this little story, very quickly, from the book Counting the Cost by C.S. Lewis. Actually, it's just an excerpt. He says, the terrible thing, the almost impossible thing, is to hand over your whole self, all your wishes and precautions, to Christ. Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time or so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I've not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there, although he does do the pruning. Let's talk about what the end result is. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth, crown it, stop it. I want to have it out. What is desired is to hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think innocent, as well as the ones you think wicked. The whole outfit. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself. My own will shall become yours. So, what's the call? Learn to love, learn the love of God, the agape set forth by His example. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So God, who is love, has shown us the greatness of His agape by laying down His life for us who He calls friends. Putting Himself aside to be killed for our sake. That along with the risen Christ, we would have life. And that we would have opportunity to agape others as an example of His agape toward us. 1 John 3:16, by this we know agape. Because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. To those who have ears to hear, let them hear.